enormity of Ah Chewin refuse to believe it, is the endless rimfall where the seas of the disk boil ceaselessly over the edge into space. Or perhaps it is the rimbow, the eight-coloured, world-girdling rainbow that hovers in the mist-laden air over the fall. The eighth colour is octarine, caused by the scatter effect of strong sunlight on an intense magical field. Or perhaps again, the most magnificent sight is the hump. There, a spire of green ice 10 miles high rises through the clouds and supports at its peak the realm of Dunmanifestin, the abode of the disk gods. The disk gods themselves, despite the splendor of the world below them, are seldom satisfied. It is embarrassing to know that one is a god of a world that only exists because every improbability curve must have its far end. Especially when one can peer into other dimensions at worlds whose creators had more mechanical aptitude than imagination. No wonder, then, that the disk gods spend more time in bickering than in omnicognizance. On this particular day, blind Eeyore, by dint of constant vigilance, the chief of the gods, sat with his chin on his hand and looked at the gaming board on the red marble table in front of him. Blind Eeyore had got his name because where his eye sockets should have been, there were nothing but two areas of blank skin. His eyes, of which he had an impressively large number, led a semi-independent life of their own. Several were currently hovering above the table. The gaming board was a carefully carved map of the disk world, overprinted with squares. A number of beautifully modelled playing pieces were now occupying some of the squares. A human onlooker would, for example, have recognised in two of them the likenesses of Bravd and the Weasel. Others represented yet more heroes and champions, of which the disk had a more than adequate supply. Still in the game were Eeyore, Ofla the crocodile god, Zephyrus the god of slight breezes, Fate, and the Lady. There was an air of concentration around the board now that the lesser players had been removed from the game. Chance had been an early casualty, running her hero into a full house of armed gnolls, the result of a lucky throw by Ofla. And shortly afterwards, Knight had cashed his chips, pleading an appointment with Destiny. Several minor deities had drifted up and were kibitzing over the shoulders of the players. Side bets were made that the Lady would be the next to leave the board. Her last champion of any standing was now a pinch of potash in the ruins of still-smoking Ankh-Morpork, and there were hardly any pieces that she could promote to first rank. Blind Eeyore took up the dice box, which was a skull whose various orifices had been stoppered with rubies, and with several of his eyes on the Lady, he rolled 3 fives. She smiled. This was the nature of the Lady's eyes. They were bright green, lacking iris or pupil, and they glowed from within. The room was silent as she scrabbled in her box of pieces and from the very bottom produced a couple that she set down on the board with 2 decisive clicks. The rest of the players, as one god, craned forward to peer at them.
"A renegade wizard and some sort of clerk," said Ofla, the crocodile god, hindered as usual by his tusks. "Well, really."
With one claw, he pushed a pile of bone-white tokens into the center of the table. The Lady nodded slightly. She picked up the dice cup and held it as steady as a rock. Yet all the gods could hear the 3 cubes rattling about inside. And then she sent them bouncing across the table. 6, 3, 5. Something was happening to the 5, however. Battered by the chance collision of several billion molecules, the die flipped onto a point, spun gently, and came down 7. Blind Eeyore picked up the cube and counted the sides.
"Come on," he said wearily. "Play fair."
The Sending of 8. The road from Ankh-Morpork to Cherm is high, white and winding, a 30-league stretch of potholes and half-buried rocks that spirals around mountains and dips into cool green valleys of citrus trees, crosses liana-webbed gorges on creaking rope bridges, and is generally more picturesque than useful. Picturesque? That was a new word to Rincewind, the wizard. BMGC, Unseen University, failed. It was one of a number he had picked up since leaving the charred ruins of Ankh-Morpork. Quaint was another one. Picturesque meant, he decided after careful observation of the scenery that inspired Two Flower to use the word, that the landscape was horribly precipitous. Quaint, when used to describe the occasional village through which they passed, meant fever-ridden and tumble-down. Two Flower was a tourist, the first ever seen on the Discworld,